Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., all rights reserved.
Named to Talkers Magazine's Heavy 100 for the second year in a row.
We tell you over and over again that you're wonderful, and you just don't get it. What's wrong with you?
Congratulations, Jim Blasingame, our small business advocate.
We're back. It's 34 after. It's always a pleasure to be with you. It's my pleasure to be part of your day, and I appreciate you allowing me to be part of yours, and we've got a lot of good things going on the rest of the week that I'll tell you more about. And let me go ahead and tell you a little bit about them. We've got coming up straight ahead, we got Bill Dunkelberg, who's going to be talking to us about a survey that he takes every month of small business owners. And then Joan Pride, senior editor with the Kiplinger Letters, will be with us to talk to us about what's going on in the world of Kiplinger. And then we got Jonathan Zook, who's one of our top technology experts, and a lot of other good folks all the rest of the week. Right now, let's visit with our good friend Jim Ostroff. Jim's also with Kiplinger. He's associate editor there at Kiplinger. He's an old friend of ours. He sits in for Joan many times when she's on vacation, when she's off, but he's here for a little bit of a different reason. Let's get him in here. Jim Ostroff, welcome back to the show.
Well, good morning, Jim. Good morning, everyone.
It's good to have you here, Jim. Jim, one of the interesting things, the more I know about you, the more I realize that you're a very, very interesting guy, and you've had a very interesting career. And one of the things that you got to do that I'm just green with envy about is you got to know Ronald Reagan in a way that a lot of people would love to have been able to do. You actually were given the opportunity to see all of the letters that he wrote and to write an article about that, didn't you?
Oh, absolutely. And it is one of the hallmarks of not only my career, but in many ways, my life. Absolutely amazing, unique, nothing else like this. And it gave me some real insights, not only into a person who was our president, but into the man himself. And it was a very different picture than many people thought, which is why the title for my work that I had done for Life magazine was The Ronald Reagan Nobody Knows. Uh-huh. And truly, there was a lot more there.
You know, a lot of people really underestimated Ronald Reagan to their own peril, really, in a lot of ways. And I say peril, I don't mean physically, I mean professionally in some ways, and politically mostly. But a lot of people thought that because Ronald Reagan was able to really kind of break things down into simple terms, he believed in fundamental things, he believed in simple things, they thought that meant he was simple, that he wasn't all that smart. And of course, the more we know about Ronald Reagan, the more we realize that that's not true, that wasn't true. What you were able to do is find out about the way he, how he felt about other people, and the way he communicated with them through his letters.
Well, hello?
Yeah.
There was a lot more there than met the eye for most people. And you look and you realize after going through thousands and thousands of his letters that were written personally that it was a very deep person here who understood many things in our very complex world and, in addition, really did care about people. That wasn't phoniness. It wasn't varnish. He really was concerned and thought in his own way if he could make a difference in one person's life, then he'd really change the world. And he believed that, and he did that.
You know, Jim, one of the things that I've had the opportunity to do over the years is to know about a celebrity, a famous person, and then later on, after having known about them for a while, actually see them and meet them in person, and to see them behave around other people, And sometimes you would see them, their behavior, and it was very much like they're on screen or their public persona.
Right.
And they were whatever they were. If they were jerks on television, they were jerks in person.
Right.
Or if they were nice on television, they were nice in person. But there's some people that I know about, I'm not going to mention their names.
Right.
That the personal, the public persona isn't anything like the other, the private persona, and they come across as this jovial, funny guy or funny lady or whatever, but in person, they're just jerks. Ronald Reagan, as you said earlier, what you saw was what you get, what you
exactly.
got.
Exactly. Exactly. What you see is what you get.
And how, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, he wrote, if I'm not mistaken, Ronald Reagan wrote over 6,000 personal letters to people of all walks of life. And Jim Ostroff got to see all of those and to write about them. We're going to get Jim to tell us about some of those letters right after these messages. It's 20 till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. Stay with us. Back at 17 till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and my website is www.jbsba.com. Don't forget to subscribe to my free newsletter when you get there. And by the way, folks, I want to, just in the interest of full disclosure, in the interest of giving you fair warning, I'm an unabashed fan of Ronald Reagan. And so if you're not, just be, you need to be prepared. And I suspect that Jim Ostroff, who's our guest, who's Jim's associate editor with Kiplinger Editors, and I suspect that Jim Ostroff is an unabashed fan of Ronald Reagan. I was when he was president, and I've always continued to be. And the more I know about him, the more I know about how he conducted himself as a human being, the more fan I become of his, Jim. And I suspect you're the same way.
Yeah, and the thing is, you'd say, whatever you would think of Reagan's political views and actions, love it or not, the thing is, as we said, that you know, he really was genuine, cared about people, and you just see every single day he really did work for what he believed to be the best for people.
Let's talk
and
about
was honest and genuine.
Let's talk about some of the letters that he wrote. Tell us, what is one of the favorite ones? Now, you saw, you had access to every single thing he wrote.
Right.
And what, by the way, what year was that? 88?
It was 87 to 88.
Okay.
It took a long time to go through those letters. It might have been essentially over 8 months.
And of course, now you actually met him. You actually had a photo op with him, didn't you, back in the early part of the 80s?
Oh, yes, I did. And just briefly, we were at some White House event, and he was there, and he talked. He stayed around and just chatted with people. I did, and lo and behold, we talked about some movie that he was in, actually called The Winning Team, where he played the great pitcher, Grover Cleveland Alexander. And White House photographer got the picture of us, and someone gave that to me, and they said, would you like to have the president autograph? And I said, well, fine, sure. A little bit later, it came back, and it was signed there. It said to Jim Ostroff, with best wishes, and then in parentheses, and I won't sign it, Alex, Ronald Reagan. He remembered, and he was referring to that.
That was a little in conversation that you guys had.
Oh, absolutely.
That
and he remembered
cool.
that, and it was no reason in the world for him to have done that.
Now he had long-standing relationships with people. There was one guy, was the little kid named Rudy? Was that his name?
Right. Rudy Hines was a...
he had a they were pen pals for years, weren't they?
Right. The president, early in his administration, had suggested that all of his cabinet members get pen pals across the country. And the president said, I will do it all as well.
I bet that went over real big in the cabinet meeting.
Oh, absolutely. But the thing is here, of all his cabinet, we'll name no names, the president was the only one who maintained this pen pal relationship. And it was more than, how are you? The president in a, must have been nearly 100 letters over around 8 years, revealed an enormous amount about himself.
To this one, to this one person, right?
To this one child.
It's Rudy.
Rudy, right, mm-hmm. And who lived in Washington, and they would correspond back and forth, and the president would relate a lot of his innermost thoughts here. He's, I'm going off to meet with Gorbachev or other things like that, and at times would offer advice to the child about growing up, about life, about dealing with parents. It just was absolutely touching.
The art of writing letters has almost become a lost art, hasn't it?
It has, and I think sadly so. But the president believed that if somebody wrote to you, that you, it was incumbent upon you to read it, think about it, and write back. And he did.
You know, more and more of my Brain Trust members are doing this, and I've started doing it over the last couple of years. And we actually have some cards made up, and for that purpose. And so now, a lot of times, instead of me writing a business letter, I'll handwrite, not if it's something that needs to be documented, obviously I'll write a business letter for business purposes. But if it's just something that I wanted to tell them, instead of sending them an email, I'll actually write it out on one of our cards and send it to them. Handwriting is as bad as my handwriting is, somehow it work, you know, it seems to work. And so I'm going to try to be a little more inspired by Ronald Reagan and maybe do more of that.
You know, as we become more technologically inspired and removed from personal contact, a little personal note means more than ever,
right,
to people in business.
Now,
and
now, these other people that he wrote to, some of them probably one time, maybe more than once, how did they actually get to the president, and how did he come to decide who to write to?
Yeah, all mail that comes to the White House, then as of, as now, goes to some central office that you might say processes them, reads them, right, divides them up into subject, and
today in today's world, irradiates them from any kind of bacteria.
It absolutely. I mean, yeah. We have that aspect as well. They're irradiated first, but the right after Reagan became president, he sort of issued a directive to people in his staff saying, I want to know what people really think, and I want you to send me a small selection every week of letters that come in on various topics. You know, just, he said, just a few hundred each week.
A few hundred each week,
and they did, and he did receive these.
How many letters did the White House get in for the president in a given week?
Oh, it must have been from 5,000 to 10,000.
Wow, in a week.
In a week.
Wow. Stand by, Jim. We're going to take a quick break. Tintel. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. Jim Ostroff is our guest. He's Associate Editor with the Kiplinger Editor. Stay with us. We're back. It's 7 till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. We're visiting with our good friend Jim Ostroff, Associate Editor with Kiplinger Editors. And Jim, we're talking about, folks, we're talking about an article that Jim had the privilege of writing, a project that I envy him for, working with the Reagan family and writing an article back in 87, 88 about the letters, about the penman, the correspondent that Ronald Reagan was. And Jim, one of the things that you might have gotten if you got a letter from Reagan was a doodle, because he was a doodler, wasn't he? He was actually a pretty good cartoonist too, wasn't he?
He was an inveterate cartooner and doodlist, and he did this whenever he could. Again, some people poked fun at him and said, "No, this is serious business," but he insisted that it was an important release for him. And as was his insistent joking with people, and he even referred back to Lincoln saying, "If I could not laugh, I could not stand this office for 1 minute."
Right.
But he
well,
would
you
doodle.
Know that people didn't realize it probably, but if they sent him a doodle or a little drawing, that probably would be sure to get to him.
Oh, yes, it was, and he would send his own doodles back to people and sign them.
Yeah, that's pretty funny. Jim, tell us about What is the something that you'd like to make sure that we know about Ronald Reagan based on your research?
Okay. Two things. He had a deep abiding faith in God, in the supreme being, in things turning out right.
Although he wasn't a highly religious person.
He was not highly religious.
In terms of, he didn't thump the Bible, he didn't quote scripture, he didn't exactly darken the door of church, you know, every week of his life, but he had this basic faith, didn't he?
He had a very basic faith and believed that there was some greater power than any person. And you see this time and time again in his letters, where he even writes back to some people saying that they are praying for him and this and that. And he said, well, you know, if you're out there praying and you get a busy signal, don't worry, it's me there ahead of you. Yes, and you know, it comes from his upbringing as well.
His mother, his mother was very religious.
She was.
She instilled that in him, didn't she?
Right, she did. But it's more of a faith in, you might say, a greater power, a greater good, and the fact that no matter who we are, as according to Reagan, we have to be humble.
Right.
And the other thing I just want to say is that that Reagan, in his own way, really cared very deeply about people. And one of his directives to his staff was that if anybody wrote saying they really were in trouble or in need, the letter should get to him. And he personally, the President of the United States, would call various people in the federal bureaucracy and said, now get that straight, get that check to the person.
Done.
He owns it. He owes it. And sometimes he would send his own money and his own clothing. He'd send his own clothing.
He put a check in the letter?
He put checks in the mail.
I heard about that. And somebody, I remember that now, somebody who got one of those checks didn't cash the check.
That's right.
Tell us that story.
And there were a couple of people who really were in desperate need, but they got this personal check from the President of the United States.
What was it, $50 or $25 or something?
It could be $100, okay. Sometimes $250. And they would not cash them. They couldn't bring themselves. And Reagan at times would call them. He'd say, please, please cash my check.
I need to balance my checkbook here.
That's right. I gave it honestly, said, from the heart, and you really need to go and use that.
And apparently, if I'm not mistaken, in at least one case, they wouldn't cash the check, and so he sent them another one so they could cash it.
They
could keep the first one.
He sent a replacement check, and he really meant it. Whether or not it made a difference in the world at large, it didn't matter. If he could make a difference in one person's life, he just felt he should.
There's a great book, Jim, called The Star Thrower. Are you familiar with that book?
No, I'm not.
And it talks about what you're talking about. I've forgotten the name of the author, folks, but it's called The Star Thrower. And it talks about in that book, yeah, I can't make a difference for everybody, but I can make a difference for this one.
Well,
that's the essence of that book, I think.
Oh, absolutely. And I think, you know, Reagan was a person whom it could be said, you know, at going through life, he plucked a thistle and planted a flower where one would grow.
Well said. What a great last thought. Thank you, Jim Ostroff, for bringing us this message and for introducing us to a little bit more to the late Ronald Reagan. Thank you very much for being here. It's good to have you with us, as always.
Thank you, as always.
Jim Ostroff, ladies and gentlemen, he'll be back. Got to go for this hour. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. This program is for you. I'll see you later.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blassingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.